I call this meeting of Sylvania City Council for December 17th, 2012 to order. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Brown?
Here.
Mrs. Capalini?
Here.
Mr. Haino?
Here.
Mrs. Hussman?
Here.
Mr. Lukey?
Here.
Mr. Milner?
Here.
Mrs. Westfall?
Here.
All seven members of council are present, therefore a quorum does exist. I welcome you all to our city council meeting for this evening. There are agendas on the two side tables, and if there's any items that you'd like to address council on, please let me know by raising your hand and I'll recognize you at the appropriate time. And we invite you to join us in our Pledge of Allegiance this evening, led by Mrs. Hussman.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Additions to the agenda. I do have some changes on the agenda this evening. First, we are going to remove item number 9 from the agenda. You could see from your council packets that we did have successful bids, but some new issues came up in the proposed lease this afternoon, and we are not ready to proceed with the awarding of the contract or with the lease. So we will work on that and we'll get back to you with it. I can't tell you whether it'll be 3 weeks from tonight on January the 7th or whether we might have a special meeting to do it sooner. I'll keep you posted with whatever comes out. We thought it would all be on the agenda tonight, and some bumps in the road came along with some requests, some concessions in the lease, and we're not ready to proceed. I would like to add, as agenda item 14, what's just been passed around. This is a letter of understanding for shared services with the Sylvania Area Community Improvement Corporation. I'm not sure that I need your permission to do this, but I'd like to talk it over with you and make sure you don't have any issues on it. It is a positive development for our Sylvania, overall Sylvania community, and just want to make sure you know about it, and then I'll consign it with your consent. That's all I have in the way of changes. Mrs. Westfall?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Other members of council? Mr. Lukey?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. We have a report from the Community Employee and Community Relations Committee, and that relates to...
we have that as item 7A, if that's
there,
all right.
It's on there.
We got it ahead of the budget. I knew that we want to talk about it before the budget.
Very diligent of your staff. Thank you.
Yes, it is. Right over there.
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Haino.
I'd like to add a discussion of item A to the agenda that was forwarded to council.
Information item A?
Information item A.
Like to add it to the...
The vote and add it as a potential referral to zoning and annexation.
Well, let's move the information item up and make it item 13A then. Any other changes from members of city council? Mr. Schroyer?
Nothing, Mr.
Chief Rodas?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Aller?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Moan?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
All right. Is there a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the agenda. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and the agenda is approved as amended. Agenda item 4 is approval of our meeting minutes from our last meeting on December 3rd. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Unless there are any corrections, I move that the Journal of Minutes of the December 3rd, 2012 meeting of Sylvania City Council be approved as submitted.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that the meeting minutes from December 3rd be approved as submitted. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and those meeting minutes are approved. Moving on to agenda item 5, we have a representative of the Wingate Inn, Leah, and I don't know whether your last name is...
McLaren.
It is McLaren, yes. So Leah McLaren will speak to us about an issue that I know council's all familiar with. That is the hotel motel tax is scheduled to come online, yes. And you wanted to talk to council about it.
Yes.
Welcome.
Thank you.
As I said, I'm Leanna Farron. Thank you for having me here tonight. I assume you received our email kind of going over the topics that I'm going to discuss today.
It is in their council package.
Okay. I was just going to read through it, if that's okay. When the Toledo Convention Center was created, it was determined by the county commissioners that it would be paid for through the hotel motel occupancy tax. And each city was allowed to petition the county to retain the 3% tax of the 10%. And Toledo, Oregon, and Maumee did do this, but Sylvania did not. When the Wingate was constructed, the Sylvania administration applied to the county for the 3%, and it was denied due to the failure of the previous administration to file. The administration then planned to require the Wingate guests to pay the additional 3% occupancy tax beyond the 10% already in place. This would take us to 19.75% tax, which is the highest in the country, which would be detrimental to our business. Like most businesses during these economic times, sales were down. We've seen a slight increase in 2012, but we're also experiencing an increased competition from Maumee hotels as well as the Perrysburg hotels, especially the Hilton Garden Inn in Perrysburg. The occupancy tax in Perrysburg is 3%, placing us at a 7% disadvantage, and this would increase our deficit to 10% if we had this 3% applied to us. The proposed tax, many guests complain already that the 16.75% is high. I see firsthand at the front desk people that have canceled, groups that have left to go to Perrysburg or surrounding cities, and any more would really be unthinkable to our guests. We really cannot afford to put us at any further competitive disadvantage if you want us to stay in business. We just really can't see to lose more businesses to these surrounding cities. Most importantly, City Council, these guests are our guests. They're Sylvania's guests. They're friends and relatives of the Sylvania residents, our business associates of local businesses, and we really don't want to be penalizing our guests. The Wingate by Wyndham is a good business citizen. In the past year, our employees have paid $30,000 plus in income taxes, and the hotels also paid $127,000 plus in real estate taxes. Our guests generate a lot of revenue to the local businesses in downtown Sylvania and the surrounding areas as well. We believe we have been a significant addition to the benefit to downtown Sylvania, and we request City Council to remove the 3% tax proposal permanently. We are committed to making our hotel the best in the area, and we really need to take action tonight to eliminate this excessive tax on our guests and to our visitors to the city. We feel like there's enough vacant buildings, and we definitely don't want to be one of them due to someone else's mistake. Is this something that we could act on tonight? I know that City Council did elect a 5-year moratorium, and that brings us here to December 2012.
Thank you, Leah. And I want you to know we get many compliments about the Wingate Hotel in town. We have a lot of city visitors that stay there, and we have a lot of business visitors staying in the community for Root and other companies. And it is a very important part of our downtown.
Thank you.
With your permission, I want to update council a little bit on this tax.
Sure.
What you said was exactly accurate, that when the county put a hotel motel tax in place countywide, the city of Sylvania, and I don't know how many years ago, that's before my time here, did not apply as Maumee and Oregon did, because they had motels and Sylvania apparently did not. I know there was a little one over there, but they didn't do it. And those bonds were originally scheduled to be paid off in a few years. They're that old. They might have been 20 or 25 year bonds. We had the opportunity just a couple of years ago when the downtown arena was purchased to change our arrangement to get into that original 10%. And I lobbied the county commissioners at the time and was pretty well stonewalled on that. I brought it up to Pete Kirkin personally a couple of times, and he just said, we can't change it, we can't do that. And I said, well, it's important, we have a hotel downtown now, and we couldn't make it happen. So now the logic is, well, it was calculated for bond repayment, assuming Sylvania would not get their 3% out of it. So that was not helpful, but that has happened in the last 5 years since this moratorium went into place. I can't tell you what council's decision will be on this, and I'm not sure they'll take any action tonight, but they probably will give some consideration to what you told you. I'm going to let them ask questions.
Sure.
But that's the status in my mind. Mr. Moan, is that about right?
With the county, yes.
I don't know how many years are left running on those bonds for the arena, but I bet it's another 20 years or more.
Right.
So we were unable to change it. We tried, we were upfront, we lobbied to do it, and just were told, no, can't do that. I can't tell you what.
Right. I understand.
We did try to correct it, and no go. Any comments from members of council?
I have a timing question. I'm not sure if it's who it's actually for. But was the 3% tax put in place after the hotel was built, or before it was being built? Or exactly when? Did you guys know about it before you built the hotel? I'm just trying to figure out the timing of.
I might let Mr. Moan answer this one.
Before the hotel came into town, we met with them, and they understood at the time that we were going to impose a hotel motel tax at the time that we sold the property to them to build the hotel. So they were aware that we were going to impose that 3% tax.
And that was prior to them renewing those bonds, correct?
That's correct.
It is. And your dad actually thought, well, that'll come off in a few years. And that's why the city was granting a moratorium on it, because we expected it to come off.
Right.
And not be an issue. And that, we started with an 18-month moratorium first, and then we did a couple of 12 months, and then we did a 5-year, because we were, said, well, we're going to let this go for now. Economics have changed. City Council now is looking for revenue, needs the revenue, and will have to make this choice.
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Lukey.
We have a different mix of commissioners now, a little bit. Mrs. Contrada is there, I believe, who, of course, is familiar with the Sylvania community. Would there be any value, this is really not speaking to the issue in front of us tonight, but would there be any value in us revisiting that with her, or is that really just sort of going over territory?
There's always value in revisiting it. But part of the answer I was given, it was too late. The bond repayment schedule and amount was already determined, and it was too late to change it because it's institutionalized in the bond documents. Now, whether that's accurate or not, or maybe there have been more hotels and motels built and we can fix that situation, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case at all, but
we can certainly start those discussions, and perhaps with you and your dad's assistance, maybe we can get somewhere.
We would definitely be willing to help, because we obviously want Sylvania to prosper, and yep. Any money that could benefit Sylvania.
Sylvania waited a long time for a hotel to be built downtown, and yours has been a wonderful addition. It's just better than any of us could have hoped.
Right.
It's much better than building a Days Inn or something along the expressway.
Right.
So my second question then, Mr. Mayor, would be, as I understand it, if we do nothing, this will go into effect.
Right? That's correct.
And what happens if it goes into effect and we do discover some opportunity with the county? Can we go back and, as we have done in the past?
I'm sure you can, yeah.
You are sure we can?
Sure. Council can waive it whenever they want.
Okay.
But the 5 years is up.
No, I understand that, but we're not statutorily required to keep it in place then if we don't do anything tonight.
You can waive it, or you can try to make a deal with the county. That would be the right thing to have happen.
Yeah.
To have Sylvania treated the same as other municipalities in Lucas County. Like
right.
Toledo, Maumee, and Oregon are treated.
Right. Okay.
We would welcome that opportunity. We appreciate you coming here tonight.
Thank you.
We will give this some attention.
Okay. Do you know when I should expect to hear back? Since obviously this is coming up in the next couple weeks, we need to know if
it's going to start the first of the year. I think you have to plan on collecting it at least for a little while until we see if we can get anything worked out.
Okay.
Council does not meet again until January 7th.
Well, and Mayor, you know, my thought was not specifically to, tomorrow morning call Carol or any of the commissioners and start negotiating. I think there's a bit of a, I think we need to have a plan for conversation with them about that to be effective or to try to be effective. So, yeah, I think realistically we're talking, in the weeks, not the days.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so.
So I guess if it's not, if you guys aren't considering to permanently remove this tax, if it's something that we're going to continue, I mean, we've got contracts on the books for the year that we would need to let these people know that it's going from 16 to 19, and if that's the case, we may lose significant business. So I guess any timeframe that you could while you're trying to work on these things, we'd greatly appreciate it. Thank you for having me here tonight.
Thank you. All right. We'll now move on to agenda item 6, which is proposed ordinance 69-2012. This is to make budget adjustments to the current 2012 budget to balance accounts here at the end of the year. Mr. Schroyer, can you give us a better description than that of what this ordinance is for?
Yeah, this is an ordinance we do each year at the end of the year to cover any negative balances we might have. Significant point of this ordinance is that in the general fund and the capital improvement fund, we did not have to appropriate any more money from the budget into the budget. We were able to cover any negatives with positives within those funds. So that's the main thing. We didn't have to come here and ask you to appropriate more money in those funds. So we stayed within the budget. We just moved money within different accounts and within each fund. So that's what this ordinance is doing. And it's pretty lengthy. We do this one time a year at the end of the year. Essentially shore up the books for our auditors.
If council has any questions, we have the two best people here to answer them tonight, Mr. Schroyer and our clerk of council, Mrs. Booker, who is financial secretary to Mr. Schroyer. So we're in great shape. But again, the budget is done.
Yeah.
It's closely reflect what we expect to have happen, but every year things change a little bit as the year goes through, and these are just to make those adjustments out at the end of the year. As Mr. Schroyer said, we're not spending more money, we're just moving it around.
Correct.
And making things work. If there aren't any questions, Mrs. Westfall, I ask for a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce Ordinance 69-2012 to make certain adjustments to account allocations within the fund appropriations for the fiscal year ending December 31st, 2012, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that Ordinance 69-2012 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of Ordinance 69-2012.
Second.
Been moved and seconded for final passage of Ordinance 69-2012 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and Ordinance 69-2012 is approved. Next item on the agenda is our 2013 budget. You've had a chance to review it, but there was a meeting of the Community Relations Committee last week. And Mr. Lukey reported that meeting.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, this is probably the last line item to be locked into the budget, and it relates to funding of community programs. It has become the habit of council to let those community organizations who are requesting funding from the city to come in and make a presentation. I think we feel it's an important way to measure their stewardship and financial accountability before we determine what budget levels we want to approve. I think it's also important to remember that we told all of these organizations last year that the city is in a difficult financial situation and that they should not expect a level of funding consistent with what they've had in the past. And in fact, we asked them to target a 10% decrease in their requests. Notwithstanding that, they came in some cases with small requests for increase, in some cases with larger requests for increase. I have to say that I believe all the committee members were pleased with the comprehensive nature of each of the presentations. I think each of the organizations presented in different ways, but they all made, provided good, a good case for their requests. We did not, we decided not to make a final recommendation to council as part of our committee meeting, but rather to review each of the requests and then come back with some discussion about that. I've heard from members of the committee that, and I think we have some agreement that we can present to council. Of course, each member of the committee can speak for themselves on that. But two other things have come out as well that I think are important context for this. One relates to idea that Mr. Hanum presented. He was there as a member of council, not as a member of the committee. And it relates to linking this a bit to the item that we discussed earlier, which is the hotel motel tax, and I want to get to that in a minute. The second piece, which I think came out of a conversation that happened after the meeting, relates to the request from the Sylvania CIC. I think there is a general feeling that the line item for the CIC really doesn't fit into the same category as the community programs. It's really dues for us to belong to the CIC. And so along with the requests for funding, I think there's some interest on the part of the committee members to request the finance director to move permanently the CIC line item out of the community programs budget and put it into a dues budget of some sort, which I understand we can do. So fundamentally, we have several things going on here. First of all, we believe that council should act to ask the request the finance director to reallocate the CIC line item to a budget. That brings us to a $70,000 budgeted amount that the finance director recommended. I think that there's a feeling that the amounts budgeted by the finance director that add up to about $70,000, which does at that point reflect a 10% decrease in our budget from last year, is appropriate. We probably could have had the discussion for several hours about adding $1,000 here or taking $500 from there, but I think we feel that the recommendation from the administration is sound. So unless, you know, for discussion, I think we feel that the budgeted amount presented originally by the administration is what the committee feels comfortable with. The third piece is the piece that I'd like to ask Mr. Hanum to talk about, because it's fairly ingenious in the way that it potentially recognizes that if we have a growth in hotel revenue or hotels in the community, it could provide some additional funding for our community. So, Doug, are you prepared to talk about that?
Well, I can talk about what obviously we have this constant battle inside about how we can fund some of these community services that are important to our community and that we all value. And we start talking about the Sylvania Community Action Team, Sylvania Family Services, one of the activities of the Chamber of Commerce, the Sylvania Arts Commission. Those are all activities that we want to support as a city. They have important impacts on our residents and on our economic development. But we also face some very serious budgetary constraints. One of the things that I noted in reviewing this was that this year we have identified a relatively a new source of revenue from the expiration of the hotel motel tax exemption, and it happens to provide about $70,000 of projected revenue in 2013. And interestingly, that's the amount that we have targeted to spend on these community programs. And so I thought it would be appropriate looking forward to the extent that we want to continue to fund these community programs, programs that benefit, again, our community. We have a direct tie that way to the revenues from the hotel, motel tax, and the visitors who come to stay here, who contribute, and thereby contribute to the well-being of our city and these specific economic development activities. And so it seemed not as a matter of rule or of law, but as a matter of practice, it might be appropriate to link that support to the amount of revenue we collect from the hotel motel tax. You know, it's been a, we have struggled to fund our budget activities. We've had, we did away with the so-called tax holiday resulting in an increase on taxes on our real estate taxes across the community. This exemption on the hotel motel tax has expired, which is going to have to give us some additional revenues. And we're going to talk, we're going to address the budget here in a little bit. I know we have worked hard to try and cut corners as much as we can with that budget, and nevertheless, we are dipping into some of our reserves to continue to balance our budget. We're fortunate to have that opportunity, but in terms of looking forward, if we're going to continue to fund these sorts of community activities, I think it's important to have a designated source of revenues to do that. And I think our hotel motel tax is a reasonable thing to tie it to.
So, Mr. Mayor, we have, I think, three pieces here. One is fairly straightforward, and I'm going to ask Mr. Mullen to tell us what we need to do procedurally and legally to get this done. One is fairly straightforward, which is to recommend to the administration and the finance director that we allocate $70,000 for the four community programs as presented by him: $15,000 for Sylvania Community Action Team, $30,000 for Sylvania Area Family Services, $16,000 for the Sylvania Area Chamber of Commerce, and $9,000 for the Sylvania Arts Commission. That represents roughly a 10% decrease in our total community budget from last year. I assume that needs to be a motion.
It needs to be a motion and passed by the majority.
Okay, right. And do we want to take these one at a time? I think we need some discussion from the council on each of them.
That's be fine.
So maybe we should take that one first. Members of the committee might want to comment on that if they'd like.
I would like.
Okay.
I, of course, you know what I'm going to say. I would like to interject that Sylvania Community Action Team asked for the same amount that they received last year, and that was per my suggestion to Deb Cheney that she not ask for more. And then was granted less when Sylvania Area Family Services and Sylvania Arts Commission were given the same amount, even though they asked for more. So there's some give and take I'd like to see happen on the amount that SCAD is get being given. I don't know how you want to handle that. I know we don't want to talk about $500 here and there, and I promised Katie I wouldn't do that, but I'm not happy with the way the numbers are working out right there. And I had mentioned in, I think it was to you in an email about the Sylvania Area Chamber of Commerce, and once again, we note that the township pays a membership of $525, while we have in our budget amount budgeted $16,000. I have some problem with that, and I know we're not going to change the township, but I'm not sure why we're giving the amount of money that we're giving, and would like someone to explain that to me.
I can try to do that. From when the executive director of the chamber was here, Pat Nowak, she took that head on, saying that $16,000 is all spent on downtown programs and events, that the township does not receive those same kind of benefits because they're not paying for those kind of benefits out of the township. So the whole community benefits from what's being done downtown. The chamber does run the Taking It to the Street events during the Jamie Farr. There's three of those through the year, not just the Jamie Farr. They had some movie nights downtown. They also organized the Downtown Delights in November. They helped with the art fair, the Maine and Maplewood Art Fair, and organized the event at the Historical Village, recognizing our local artist. That was her explanation to you, and I can tell you that the chamber's activities in downtown have added a great deal of activity, and the number of visitors to our downtown has increased as a result of those activities, and I think they're very positive for the downtown. The chamber's membership, at least my personal, my business membership, is set up by the number of employees you have. Mine that I pay in my business is less than the township's, but I don't have nearly as many employees, so I assume that they're just paying right off of that membership pay schedule. The city is paying for help with the downtown. The Shop Sylvania program is another one to help with our downtown redevelopment, and I think those dollars are very well spent. You didn't bring up the other issues on the township, especially for the Sylvania Area Family Services, where the city's making a $30,000 commitment, the township makes a $10,000 commitment, and yet they have 60% of the users and we only have 40%. I think I'd go after that one more because I think the chamber treats us different. We're getting more of what we're paying for. But that's not the case for the Arts Commission, where we pay $9,000 and they pay, I think, $1,000. You know, maybe 10 years ago they came in and they wanted to make it a community arts commission. And under former trustees, they funded it. Actually, they were going 60-40 with the city. Well, that disappeared when the trustees were changed. But we haven't changed the organization to remove them from it. They do put $1,000 into it. And then Sylvania Community Action Team, I'm not sure what the township does there. I don't have that number in front of me.
It's 3,000.
You know, 20% of what the city pays. Those are the real issues. I'm not sure the chamber is the one. It could be the chamber doesn't belong on this sheet either because it's economic development more than human or community services.
I agree with that.
Mr. Mayor, I know, I was, like I said, just an attendee at the meeting. I'm not a member of the committee, but I know that Pat represented that they spent significantly more on the downtown events than our contribution. I'm not sure this number. I'm not comfortable with my numbers, but I thought you said you spent $28,500 on the Taking It to the three events that are downtown, and we funded.
I don't 16. Have that with me either, but I think that's about right. She also had other sponsors that were giving in buying stuff.
Yep. So I don't know about that. And the other thing I want to just point out here is that I don't want to be tied to. You know, what the township does is what the township does. And
that's
what
right.
We do is what we do. And, you know, the township is in a different situation than we are. They have some different economic situations than we have. And more importantly, you know, I wasn't elected to run the township. I was elected to run the city of Sylvania. And, you know, these are hard calls, as I noted in my budget memo that I'll talk about a little bit here. These are the kinds of costs that in harder times we will not be able to continue to fund. I mean, we are fortunate to have some significant resources and some savings that we've accumulated over the years that are allowing us to spend more than we're bringing in. You know, most communities don't have that. Most communities don't have the sort of rainy day fund that we have, and if we didn't have that, we wouldn't be able to fund these. You know, these are the kinds of things that would be at the top of my list of things that we would cut, and that isn't because that doesn't mean they don't do important work, but these are further down on our, I think, on our government priority list in terms of what we do. But apart from that, I think we have struck a reasonable balance here that is consistent with what we've done in past years. It's actually a little lighter than in our cuts than I think we maybe had originally projected a year ago. And you know, and it's you know, we could argue for more here and there. We could argue for additional, for adding other community-based support groups, and I think this is a reasonable compromise.
Yeah, and Mr. Mayor, if I could speak to, I think, a couple points that Mrs. Hussman was making. First of all, I agree with Doug. There's nothing we can do about the township. That shouldn't be a factor here. I would like to believe that, you know, what they're doing is a conscious policy decision, and that the members and stakeholders of each of these organizations make sure within their organizations that their people know what the trustees are doing, right? And at some point, that'll come back and impact the trustees or not. But the point is that, yes, the Chamber of Commerce did ask for substantially more money, and I believe we were pretty direct in telling them that they weren't going to get it, right? In fact, what we're doing with the Chamber, as we are doing with SCAT, is giving them a small decrease, and it's very parallel, I think, from one organization to another. So, yes, we could shift a few hundred dollars around if that made us all feel better, but I'm not sure that that's particularly productive for us right now. So, you know, Mrs. Hussman, I'd be happy to take a suggestion, but I'm not inclined to make substantial changes to what's in front of us.
Thank you, Mr. Lutke. Also, I think we did have quite a conversation last year about a sincere commitment to reduce these by 10% in some kind of ongoing nature. I know that's what your meeting was for, was to review that, examine it, and see if that still was a fit for this year. But ultimately, I think that a point well made and from Mr. Hanum is we're fortunate we're able to fund these programs and to begin to prepare them, that we may not always be able to fund them at those same high levels is probably good stewardship on our part as well.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, Mrs. Hussman's certainly able to make an amendment, but I guess in light of the discussion, I'd like to make a motion that we approve the community funding programs in the amount of $70,000 in the amounts that were presented by the administration.
And do you want to include in there and relocate the Sylvania Area Community Improvement
Corporation? Yeah, I was going to do that separately, but if we could do it in the same motion.
I bet you can do it in the same motion. Okay, are you comfortable with what?
Yes.
Okay.
And Mr. Schroyer and I talked this afternoon, and there's a perfect place for him to park that line, so apparently we're able to do it. So I would make the motion as stated.
I'll second that.
All right. Moved and seconded. Any further discussion on that? All in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and those changes are made in the budget.
Now, the second piece would be Mr. Hanum's piece, and I was taking notes as you were talking. So do we want to make a motion?
Well, I would like to establish that as kind of a practice going forward and carry it through as an institutional piece of memory, because I don't want to commit to that. I think it's a reasonable way of addressing that going forward. Yeah, in circumstances that were more economically exigent, we might very well want to deviate from that.
Well, that one takes no action. It's a practice, and we'll look at it every year. The council, the administration will remember that,
right,
that possibility and that logic.
That's the majority of the report. I have one small other item that we can do at the end of the meeting, if you wish, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome to do it now. Your committee's up right now.
Okay. Mrs. Hussman raised the notion, which I think is a good one, that next year we are going to be seeing construction of a fire station in downtown Sylvania, the fourth station to be built in their process. And because that work is going to be done in the city, and because I think council deserves to, since this council deserves to keep appraised of that, that we invite the chief to brief council on a periodic basis. And from that standpoint, we asked Mr. Sanford to reach out to the chief and ask him if he would be willing to join us with sort of an overview at the beginning part of the year, and I believe he has agreed. So that was a good suggestion, and I think it's a clear indication that the fire department wants to be helpful with council and getting us to understand what process we're taking.
We do have a front elevation of the new fire station now on an easel in the city hall lobby, if anybody wants to take a look at it. I think we have it in a PDF file, and we can forward it to you directly if you want to see it. It's very nice. It's going to be a good addition to our downtown. The fire chief and the city have been working together trying to figure out the best solution for the fire department to serve the city while fire station number one is being demolished and rebuilt. And those discussions are continuing. We've offered them the use of the house, first house across the railroad tracks, but I'm not sure that that's going to be suitable for their purposes. I think city councils, I'm not trying to worry them out, but I think city council's concern, mine certainly was that a new fire station be built within the city limits, and there's a commitment to do that. If they relocate out of town temporarily during that reconstruction, I'm not as concerned about that. There seems to be a concern about where the county's 911 unit would go, and it might get pulled out of the community more if they move it out of Sylvania downtown. I am concerned about that, but it'll come back here to fix that in the future. Any further comments about that, Mr. Sanford?
I think you got a comment.
Okay. We are in contact with the chief, and I don't know how you left it with him, but he's going to come to a city council meeting in January.
And maybe I'd suggest, or I'll reach out to him for the second meeting, because by then maybe they'll be final on their plans with the alternate coverage.
I will personally get to see him this Thursday. He's scheduled to come into my Thursday morning meeting, and I'll get updated directly with him then. Is that satisfactory?
Yep, that's it.
Okay. If we're ready, then let's move on to agenda item 7B, which is ordinance 66-2012, which you had a first reading on 2 weeks ago. We are asking for you to do a final passage now so we can have this done before the end of the year. We don't need to, if we have to do this, we're going to have a temporary budget or shut down the city come the first of the year. So I hope that you can do that. There are a few facts on it. Again, I just want to go over quickly. I try not to be repetitive. The city was able for many years to put away money into our capital improvements fund as a rainy day fund, and we financed some of our capital improvements, many of our capital improvements, out of bond money at the recommendation of experts a long time ago under the senior administration and continuing with me because it's a more efficient way to pay for things as they're used. As a result, we did build up reserve funds, but in the last few years, due to the bad economy, our income tax receipts went down. And even now that they're growing again, they're not growing as fast, but that's not really enough to create this problem. What's created the problem are a number of things have changed in our budget. We have lost $300,000 in local government funds from the state of Ohio. Those dollars are still going to Columbus, but they're staying in Columbus. We're going to lose $750,000 in inheritance taxes. Those are staying with the taxpayers. Those are not staying in Columbus, they're staying with the taxpayers. But there's still dollars. We lost those vary year to year, but they've averaged out around $750,000. We've been notified by the county auditor that our property tax receipts are going to be $207,000 lower next year due to lower property assessments, valuations on property here in town. But the biggest category of all is lost interest income. Since 2008, we were down $1 million a year in investment income. We had savings and we were making 3% or more on it. We're making 0.2% on a lesser number now. We have lost that much out of our budget, so those hurt. As a result of that, in 2012, this year, we anticipate our drawdown from our reserves to be somewhere between 2.4 and 2.6 million. I don't know if you finalized that number yet or not.
$2 million at the end of the year.
Okay. The proposed budget you're looking at is able to reduce that anticipated drawdown on our reserves to $1.4 million. And that includes a budget line item to spend $500,000 in the Maplewood market to bring new jobs into town. So that number is really down around $900,000 with that investment. We're spending the money. It's not going to be in the bank anymore, but we're putting it into our own property, and there will be income coming in the form of rent to help replenish those monies. We're investing it more than spending it in a way that it won't be repaid. And beyond that, in 2014, we expect our budget to be nearly balanced, anywhere between balanced or $500,000 of deficit. And that's going to depend a lot on where the income tax receipts go and on some other things. But the reason we're going to be better off in 2014 than 2013 is that we will not have police patrol cars in that year. We bought them this year. We're buying them next year. So that'll come off the budget. We're going to have lower capital improvements that are budgeted for 2014. And we will, of course, continue on with our lower number of city employees. That's where the bulk of the savings are between 2012 and 2013. A number of city employees are retiring. We're replacing some at lower pay, and we are not replacing others. And that is going to help the city's budget the most. That's where our most expensive are, and personnel, and we are drawing back. There will be fewer city employees next year than when I became mayor back in 1996. I expect to have no reduction in services to our community, but we will have fewer employees working harder. Not that they haven't worked hard in the past. We've learned with new equipment that we can do more with the same number of people. And that's where I see us going. That's why I'm not concerned about what you're spending in the community programs. We have found a way to work this deficit down. It takes a little time to do it. I pledged to you that I did not want to cut services, but that I would begin to get nervous when our reserves got down to about $10 million, and that's where they're going to be at the end of 2013 or 2014. We'll see where that goes. But looks like we're going to be able to stabilize it in the next 2 years. That's unless you have lots of programs and projects that we add on through the course of the year. And some of it might be worthwhile. We just need to discuss it in that context. So I strongly recommend passage of Ordinance 66-2012 so that we can start the year with a fresh budget. And it is down, what, Toby, 9.6%, 9.7% in the operating budget? 6.1% down. And our deficit will be down $1 million, but then there's another $500,000 that we're investing, so it's really down almost $1.5 million from this year. Big change. We're responding.
I'd like to make a comment. You know, we've overspent over the last 3 or 4 years. Majority of it's gone through capital improvements to our city, and we need to make a point that the multi-million dollar projects that we had on our streets, sewers, and water lines, there was no assessment to any of the citizens of this community for those, and I think that's a real plus for our citizens to know that all these improvements were done. And unlike other cities, they assess for those improvements. We did not assess for those improvements. Also, a lot of the projects, we did them last year and the year before because during the economic downturn, the quotes were coming in so good that we saved hundreds of thousands of dollars by doing those projects last year and the year before and even this year, than if we would have delayed them a couple of years and then had them quoted. I think it would have cost a substantial increase in monies, you know, to do those projects that needed to be done. So that would be my comments on our overspending the last couple of years.
Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move final passage on Ordinance Number 66-2012 as amended.
Second. It's been moved and seconded for final passage of Ordinance 66-2012 as amended. waiving this third reading and read by title only.
Mr. Mayor, with the motion pending, I'd like to just address a couple of...
Discussion is fine.
One of the things that, you know, you mentioned that our interest rate, that we're not recovering on our investments lately. One of the things that a lot of people don't understand is that our investment mechanisms as a city are very limited under the Ohio Revised Code. I mean, it's not as simple as, we can't go out and buy treasury bills. We have a very limited number of places that we are allowed by statute to invest. So the fact that those rates of return are as low as they are does not reflect a failure on our part to manage those investments appropriately. It is that we are, by law, structurally only allowed to invest in things that, frankly, just aren't paying a lot of interest right now.
There was a lot of trouble with that 25 or 30 years ago with public dollars being invested in savings and loans. I remember in Florida or something, a lot of money was lost. We're not doing that. Where we've been hurt is that we used to be able to have the local banks bid on a $1 million certificate deposit, and we routinely get 3 or 4%. Now we get
0.2.
Yeah, that makes a big difference.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, we don't have control over those investments the way even most of us have in our,
and I don't think
in our own IRAs.
I don't think you or I are lobbyists to have that kind of freedom.
No, I'm not suggesting that, but it's, but people,
it does limit us.
But people need to understand that there's a reason for that, and it isn't bad management on our part. It's just the reality of the things we can invest in. I shared with council a year ago. I voted against this budget. I voted against our budget, and I was concerned then that we had work to do to reduce the budget. And I think it's worth noting that we have done a lot of work in the last year on this budget. I think it is, and I think nobody likes spending more than you bring in. We are fortunate to have the resources to do that, the capability of doing that. And I've been impressed with the work that the administration has done. We've had the work council did this past year. We reviewed every expenditure item that we have in our budget. We made some interim changes along the way. We moved some expenses from city budget to other places. And a lot of the reasons why we are spending more than we're bringing in is directly related to changes that have come at the state level. The ones you have mentioned, the reduction in local government funds, the estate tax, loss of, and also, you know, this, we continue to be burdened by this obligation to fund our municipal court. And I have been doing some research, and I know we may have something to say about that would that won't make everybody happy, but we're going to have to we subsidize the court about 45% of the municipal court's budget above and beyond what we get from the court. And yet we are a very small portion of the workload over there, and much larger communities that contribute, much larger unincorporated communities that are in the court jurisdiction contribute nothing to that. And in fact, the revenues that they get from that court, they put in their own pocket, and then don't contribute to the court. It's a grossly unfair system, and it's something we need to continue to work with. But so while nobody, I know nobody here is happy spending more than we bring in, I think we are fortunate to have the resources to do that. And we have a balanced budget, if you will. We are not borrowing any money to do this. We are pulling it down from reserves. And I think it reflects a lot of hard work in the right direction. And The one thing that I went back and looked at some things over the last few weeks, one thing I would like to see us move toward, and we talked about it a year ago, I'd like to see us do this sometime going forward, is, and even if it's just doing general projections, I know Mark can comment from the from his time on the school board. You know, the school district does five-year budgets, project 5 years out. And it would be, and I know you have plans for 2014, it would be good for us to all be involved in that process and to look at a two or three, you know, a three-year budget planning period so that we can be part of that and so that we're more comfortable year to year in the decisions that we're making. And it's not a lack of trust, it's just, I think that's an appropriate role for council to be looking at those budget issues over a longer horizon than just year to year. So that's something that I'll talk more with our finance committee director about and with Toby over the next few months and see if maybe we can't work towards that. But unlike last year, I'm going to vote for this budget, and I appreciate the hard work of the administration's done to pull this together.
Thank you. As for your comments about the court, we may be coming into a window of opportunity to get something fixed there. I'm sure that you read in the press that Barbara Sears, our former president of council, is now third in leadership position in the Ohio House as the majority floor leader. That may give us the opportunity to get someone's ear to help fix this problem in the next couple of years here, which we have not been able to do in the past. We've tried for 15, 20 years to do it. Just can't do it. Maybe now's the time. Okay, any further discussion? There's already a motion and a second on the floor to read ordinance number 66-2000 and to waive the second and third readings of ordinance 66-2012 by title only and waive the second and third readings as amended. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of ordinance number 66-2012 as amended.
Second.
I moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 66-2012 as amended as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Ordinance 66-2012 is approved and our 2013 budget is approved. My thanks to Mr. Schroyer and everybody in the administration for working on it and for City Council's attention throughout the year. You had four or five committee meetings where you did look at those expenses. We did not come into this without having an adequate enough amount of knowledge, and things are working out for us. Thank you for all your help. That's a lot done for tonight, but we have more where we can go. Agenda item 8 is an annual agreement. We work with Donald Schoenhardt and Associates to help prepare our basic financial statements. We have done this since the late 1990s. The price has been fixed at $12,500 a year to do this for many years, not since the beginning. It was actually more than that in the early years. And this is a firm that does this for many communities around Northwest Ohio and puts us in a very good position to get our audits done on a timely basis. Mr. Schroyer, any further comments you'd like to make about that?
It is actually a three-year contract.
Yep. So, and it's fixed for all 3 years.
We're coming off a three-year contract, and it's a new three-year contract.
This is not hiring an auditor for 3 years. Again, understand the difference. This helps us, you know, to prepare our GAAP financial statements in the proper form. We will be back to you with the other consultant that does our audits rather than the state auditor's office. And we did just recently, in the last week or two, get our final approval of our audit for 2011.
Just last week.
Yep. Approved. No qualifying comments. So I recommend Ordinance 70-2012 and look to Mrs. Westfall again.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce Ordinance Number 70-2012. All members of the council having received copies in advance, I will read by title only. Authorizing an agreement between Donald J. Schoenhardt and Associates, Inc. and the City of Sylvania, whereby said firm will assist the city in preparation of its 2012, 2013, and 2014 basic financial statements in compliance with generally accepted accounting principles at costs not to exceed $12,500 for 2012, $12,500 for 2013, and $12,500 for 2014, plus mileage for each year, authorizing the mayor and director of finance to sign the agreement on behalf of the city, waiving the second and third readings, and declaring an emergency.
Second. Been moved and seconded that ordinance number 70-2012 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage for ordinance number 70-2012.
Second.
Been moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 70-2012 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 70-2012 is approved. Agenda item 9, both 9A and 9B have been removed from the agenda. We hope to be back to you with this when things are ready to move forward. So we will move on to agenda item 10. This is also annual, well, it's not annual legislation, but it's a repeat legislation. This is for maintenance agreement with Bender Communications, who does service our police radio communication equipment. Chief Rodas, can you talk about this one a little bit?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, this is an annual request to the council to enter into a contract with Bender Communications for service and maintenance of our police radios, both in the cars and the portable radios that the officers carry. Also covered under this service agreement, excuse me, is the mobile data terminals that we have in the police vehicles also. The amount of this agreement for next year amounts to $9,027. That's slightly down from the $9,600 that we paid this year for the service agreement with Bender. Over, you know, it's been over 20 years that we've utilized Bender. We have been very, very happy with them. And it would be my recommendation that we enter into this contract with Bender.
Questions? Mrs. Westphal, I believe you're chairman of safety also.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 72-2012. All members of council having received copies in advance, I'll read by title only, authorizing the mayor and director of finance to enter into a contract for a service agreement with Bender Communications, Inc. for the radio communication equipment of the Division of Police, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second. Been moved and seconded that ordinance number 72-2012 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of ordinance number 72-2012.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 72-2012 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 72-2012 is approved. Agenda item 11, I have two appointments that I'm coming to you for confirmation. The first has to do with our board appointment to the TARDA Board of Directors. We have had on that board for the last 6 or 7 years, I believe, Tom Ramsdell, who did a very good job for us and for TARDA. He was commended by the TARDA general manager, was chairman of their finance committee, but unfortunately moved his residence out of the city of Sylvania. So I formed a search committee with him and some other members of the community to look for an appropriate replacement, and I'm very pleased with the candidate that I appointed to that position. A couple of you had a chance to meet him this evening at the reception over at the museum. I don't know how many, I know these two or three of you got to meet him. He actually is already active in the community and has an interest in, serves on the ARC of Lucas County's board, which has to do with transportation as well. But the expertise that Jim Gee was looking for the TARDA board is his strength. He is a finance person. He has understanding of public finance. He works across the street here from City Hall in the city of Sylvania as part of Scott Savage's investment firm. He has helped with the city's investments that we talked about earlier, but he works with many other communities in just the city of Sylvania. He is younger, and he is very excited about this activity, this opportunity to serve the community on the TARDA board. I just don't think I could have found a better appointee than him, and I'm very pleased to have appointed him to the TARDA board and ask for your confirmation of him.
I move confirmation of Mayor Stiles' appointment of Kirk Ludwig to the Toledo Area Regional Transit Authority Board.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to confirm the mayor's appointment of Kirk Ludwig to the TARDA board. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and that confirmation is approved. Thank you. The second appointee is Tom Lindsley, who has served on the zoning, on the planning commission for the last several years, and has indicated, he's actually been our chairman for the last 2 years. He's indicated his interest in being reappointed, and I strongly recommend your confirmation of his reappointment to a new 4-year term as well.
I move confirmation of Mayor Stiles' appointment of Tom Lindsley to the Municipal Planning Commission.
Second.
Moved and seconded to confirm the mayor's appointment, reappointment of Tom Lindsley to the Sylvania Planning Commission. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and Mr. Lindsley's appointment is confirmed. Going to page 2 of our agenda, committee reports. We already had the only one I was aware of tonight, but our committee chairman, are there any further reports to be made at this time?
Mayor Stiles, I don't have a report, but I would just like to make a comment as I reflect back on the budget conversation, so I'm sorry to loop back there, but I would like to extend my gratitude as well to the members of council and to the members of administration for your hard work and dedication in making sure that we reviewed the budget carefully and provide a very thorough analysis and oversight, and thank you for your dedication to ensuring that we bring the budget under control and the timeline that we identified as very critically important. I do know that we remain committed to continuing to review the budget with regularity. I know the Finance Committee will continue to meet with regularity, and certainly we'll open up those meetings to the Committee of the Whole if that's what the group desires. But we did have a very focused year in reviewing the budget and all of the areas within the budget, and thank you for all of your work, and thank you to administration as well.
Thank you. You know, I had actually meant to ask you if you were willing to have a motion commending Mr. Ramsdell for his years of service on the on the TARDA board, and have the clerk write him an official letter of thanks for his service to the community.
So moved. Second.
All right. Thank you. All in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and we'll get that letter prepared and off to Mr. Lindsley, or Mr. Ramsdell. Which board?
My term on Sylvania Community Services Board representing the City Council is up next year, and I would like to serve on the board again and be reappointed to that board, and I think this would be an appropriate time to do it because I think it runs out the first of the year, and we don't have another council meeting between now and then.
I think that's appropriate too. I'd like to make a motion that Mr. Brown be reappointed to the Sylvania.
Second.
Board.
Oh. I knew what you meant.
Everybody clear on the motion?
Yeah.
Including the clerk?
I got the report.
Okay.
Sylvania Area Family Services.
Community Services.
Sylvania Community Services, SCS.
SCS. You were going down the wrong path.
Are we all clear? Okay. There's a motion to reappoint Mr. Brown to continue to represent council on the Sylvania Community Services Board. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you for bringing that to our attention. Other members of council that belong to different community boards, like Mrs. Hussman, I know you're on the Sylvania Community Action Team. If any of those are expiring, please let us know, and council, I would think, would reappoint you. I don't know if there's competition for any of these positions or not. So fight it out amongst yourselves. Okay, any further committee reports or issues at this time? Or?
Well,
I did have a comment. When I wanted to add something to the agenda earlier, it was not what I thought it was at the time. Is this a point to make?
Certainly.
This is really, I think, to recognize some folks that maybe don't always get good recognition, and that's our friends at First Energy and Toledo Edison. We have had in our neighborhood, Mr. Mayor, what I...
About 7 or 8 trucks lined up there this morning.
Right, but also what seemed to me an inordinate amount of power outages over the last couple of years. Some of those were warranted because we've had some very severe weather. But even in the kind of minimal storms, we've had outages of, you know, an hour or two. That seemed like a lot, and I asked our representative from Toledo Edison, Meg Adams, to look into it. In fact, she identified that we had a disproportionate number of outages in Lincoln Woods compared to some of the rest of the communities in Northwest Ohio. And she said that she would see what she could do, came back and said, and agreed that this was a high number and that it was because of the growth of trees over the power lines going across the northern part of Bolander Park and through Vicksburg area and the...
east to McCord.
East to McCord, yeah. Exactly. She thought that they could get that on the work plan for Edison at the beginning part of next year, and lo and behold, we show up today and there are 3 or 4 or 5 trucks cutting the trees. And so the foreman indicated to me today that will have a significant impact on the citizens over in Lincoln Woods in terms of fewer power outages. That coupled with the fact that very quietly and very effectively, Edison came through our community and cut trees along their major power line at the state line over the course of the summer. I understand that they took down as many as 1,000 trees. I have only had one complaint from a citizen during all that time, and that was compared to what I think some of us remember a few years ago where we had substantial complaints. So I just think that clearly Edison and First Energy are operating as good citizens in the community and just deserve a little bit of recognition for that.
Would you like...
No, I just...
Would you like to have a motion to have the clerk send them a letter on behalf?
You know, could you do that as mayor on behalf of yourself and council? I think that would be very appropriate.
I would be happy to prepare that letter. I'd like the clerk to take note of that and remind me to get it done.
If you need a vote, I'll be happy to make
it. I don't think we do. As long as council doesn't have any objections, we'll take care of that.
Okay, thank you.
It's been very frustrating in my home to be able to look over to Olander Niederhauser Hall, and the lights are on over there, mm-hmm. but all of Lincoln Woods is out.
Right.
Or you can look down south on Vicksburg and see the traffic light on, but no power in Lincoln Woods. That's because ours comes east.
Right.
And I think most of it was in the tree line that you're talking about. Right. Occasionally it's farther to the east, but usually it's right
there. Yeah, the interesting thing is how readily they acknowledged that was a problem.
Well, they have to go out and fix them so they know where they were, and
yeah.
I think they'd rather fix it on downtime right. rather than on emergency basis.
Right.
That worked out fine. Thank you for that. And we will get a letter out to Meg Adams representing Toledo Edison and First Energy. Let's move on to agenda item 13, and we moved up information item A and made it 13A, a zoning request from Dave McClure. Mr. Haina.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I would like to refer this item to our zoning and our annexation and zoning committee or zoning and annexation committee for some consideration. You know, I as chair of the committee, I sometimes think I know what our code provides, and then I see a picture of this particular boat in this particular house, and I wouldn't be very happy if I were in that situation. And I think it's worth looking at and thinking about and making sure we understand the code and how it works and whether there is reason to change it. And obviously, I don't think this is the place to have that discussion. I think we have to do that as a committee so we can gain a better understanding of the situation and how the code works and how it would impact some other neighborhoods, including mine, frankly. Because I want to make sure I understand that before legislate on it, but I didn't see that, I didn't have time to go see this, but Katie showed me a picture of it tonight that she took, and thank her for doing that. But it is, it looks like something that we ought to at least intelligently consider.
Not a little rowboat with a motor on the back of it.
It is a big boat. And I don't, and we mean, I want to understand how our zoning code works better and whether we need to change it. So I would like to refer this matter to our zoning committee and see if we can schedule a meeting to discuss. And I know it's getting to the end of the year. I don't expect to do this before January. We remain, I mean, our council remains in session, so we can schedule stuff in January, if I understand it correctly, right?
Correct. It is not a new council, so it's not a change. And before you start having that scheduling discussion, the law director is requesting that you also see if there's a date and a time when city council could have a possible special meeting for the approval of labor contracts, which are maybe resolved by then, and perhaps something on agenda item 9, having to do with the Maplewood Marketplace. If we could possibly schedule something late next week, and it's, you know, Thursday or Friday, it could be a 4 o'clock meeting or 5 o'clock meeting or an evening meeting. Thursday, Wednesday might be a little early.
How about Thursday at 5 or 4?
5.
Well, I have an appointment at 5. I could do a 4 o'clock meeting. You can't do 4?
Yes.
Or I could do...
I could do 4.
Or I could do a morning.
You could do a Friday morning.
I could do a morning meeting.
I cannot do Friday, but I could Thursday.
I could do Thursday.
Is that enough time, Mr. Mullen?
I believe it will be for several of the labor contracts, and I think it's a time that we should be able to resolve one way or another the Maplewood Market matter as well.
I know I'm not working next Tuesday. Maybe you are.
25th.
Yeah. It's a traditional.
Yeah. I understand.
That's my birthday. I don't work on my birthday.
Is it really?
I don't know why.
A Christmas baby.
Next Tuesday. That's my birthday.
Well, it's Monday. Yes. I thought I had a day. I guess not. You know, we had to do it a little more time, Mr. Mayor. What about Friday? Like, not 5 o'clock in the afternoon, but like 4?
I could do Friday afternoon, too.
Anybody leaving? I'm leaving. I can tell you right now, I'm going to be gone Friday at noon or so, heading towards the family gathering.
Just do 4 o'clock on Thursday. It's now. That works for everybody else.
I can't get here at 4. The 4 o'clock drop off.
4:15?
4:15.
Okay. We can do that.
I will probably be out of town going to Cincinnati.
We need to make sure that we have 5 votes here. It's not worth having the meeting. Sounds like 6 people are committed to be there. Let's have a motion to establish that as a special meeting, and we will call and let you know if we
cancel it. Okay, so that would be Thursday the 27th at 4:15.
Yep. So moved.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to schedule a special council meeting on Thursday, December 27th at 4:15 p.m. to conduct some end-of-the-year business. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and if we don't meet that meeting, we'll let you know as soon as possible.
Okay. To Deb's point, though, as far as zoning.
We were talking about zoning, that's right.
Yeah. Would you just, could we do that before our meeting, the first meeting in January?
It'd be fine with me.
At 7 or 6:30.
Is that, Mr. Aller, how's that work for you? And I don't know if we need Bob.
I will be out of town from the 27th to the 3rd.
But that meeting's on the
7th.
7th.
Sorry.
Does that work on the 7th?
Yeah, at what time?
Well,
it shouldn't, if you and I talk, I can bring you up to date on it, but the meeting itself shouldn't take that long. There are some options to be able to amend our code.
Do we want to do it 6:45 or 7?
6:45.
Let's do 6:45.
Is this the kind of thing where you want to notify the
residents over there or not?
I'm more interested in understanding our code than this particular, I understand there's a particular problem, but I don't really understand the code, and I want to make sure I understand the code before we decide what to do.
Okay, I think that gets us through 13A and more. We do have an added agenda item, 14. Back of it, that was distributed to you this evening. This has to do with cooperative agreement with the Sylvania Area Community Improvement Corporation. Let me borrow yours if I may, we both work on it. Mine's in my stack of papers here someplace. This is a letter of understanding for shared services. And this is a letter, and it's not an expenditure of funds, but the background on this has been that for years, the city of Sylvania and Sylvania Township have cooperated with the Community Improvement Corporation and helped to fund many community projects, mostly utility-based. And those have been greatly reduced in the last few years, and they have gone to other projects of providing economic development. And when we had a reorganization, when the utility projects really fell off the table a few years ago, we had a retreat and we came up with the idea that perhaps we needed a full-time or even a part-time executive director to do that work. And it was just not practical to do. Was that person going to work for the city or work for the township? Or would they show bias in anything that came in that affected both of us? And it just wasn't a trust level there to do it. This work used to be done by John Crandall in the community. He's retired, but he did come back and help structure this agreement along with Dave Simcoe. And the proposal, I think, is a workable project. The city of Sylvania now has a economic development person in Bill Sanford. The township has a township executive, John Zeitler, who also has economic development experience. And those people have both been working with the Community Improvement Corporation in a cooperative manner. We also seem to have the trust level necessary between the city and the township trustees to propose that the responsibilities of an executive director be shared between those two individuals, and that both the city and the township would be reimbursed $3,000 for their services, their very part-time services, to oversee the Sylvania Chamber of Commerce, who does the housing and types the minutes and sends out notices of meetings and things like that for us, but cannot really serve as an executive director. Those leadership services would be shared between Mr. Sanford and Mr. Zeitler. And when a call comes into the community saying we're interested in moving to Sylvania or Sylvania Township, that call would go to the proper general. And they would share in working on programs to pursue, share in counseling the president of the CIC on directions on what to take place. And I think this is a wonderful development for our community. We've finally gotten to the point that we can have that kind of an understanding of shared services with the township. The township trustees, I believe, on board of it. I certainly am. I'm not sure I need your permission to sign this letter of understanding because it's not an expenditure of funds. But I wanted you to know what was going on. You can have a motion to endorse it. Bill, would you like to say anything more? I just kind of talked all over the issue there.
Just to add, I'm in support of doing this. I think with the size of the two communities and I just didn't see a need for another layer of another position when we've got people in the city and the township that can address these things. I'm going to represent, I'm now a member of NORED and go to their meetings, the Northwest Ohio Economic Development Group, Regional Development. And the CIC is going to help pay for that membership, so we'll be a recognized city. as part of that group that represents that area, and I'll be able to bring those reports back to the future CIC meeting. So I do see it as a win-win situation for us.
I guess, Mr. Moan, would you recommend a motion of endorsement, or what would you like?
I just wanted to make sure it was brought to council's attention. It really doesn't require action, but if council is in support of it, I think that would be appropriate.
No, I think it deserves endorsement, because this is really a big step forward, both in the cooperation between the city and the township, but also in our ability to be competitive in the economic development environment. I mean, I'm delighted, Mayor, that you have been involved with putting this together and bringing it to us. So I'd love to make a motion to endorse it without qualification.
I'll second that. Thank you. It's been moved and seconded to endorse this letter of understanding of shared services with the Sylvania Area Community Improvement Corporation and Sylvania Township. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. That brings us to the end of our agenda items. I do draw your attention to information item B. That's our monthly income tax report. It is down a little bit from last month's percentage, but it's still about 2.6% above 2011, so we are making progress. Mr. Schroyer, what did you put in the budget? 4% or something for next year?
3.4.
3.4. So that is an attainable number, especially with some of the good things that are going right now on occupying on empty buildings at the time. So I think that's a workable number. That's all I've got. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Second.
Been moved and seconded to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and this council stands adjourned until a possible special meeting on December 27th and to its next regularly scheduled meeting on January 7th, 2013 at 7:30 p.m. Thank you all for the progress made this evening.